chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the martyr walked the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB in the North Bay and beyond. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Are you enjoying the rain? Water falling from the sky. Isn't it wonderful? Ah, it's just so great. It's messed up so many things I'm supposed to be doing. I've been rained out of 4 events and it doesn't matter. It's just so great. We're going to this evening continue a conversation that we were having last week. But before we get there, I wanted to talk about a couple of things taking place that were not so much taking place. Business as usual on one hand this week, but some things to think about because of the holidays. One of the biggest farmers markets, or some of the biggest farmers markets, are always the ones closest to a major holiday. So Christmas is on Friday. Christmas Eve is on Thursday. So look at your Wednesday farmers markets. We've certainly got the one that takes place at the Wells Fargo Center from 8:30 until noon on Wednesday. Also at the Veterans Building, that's the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market, taking place 8:30, I believe, until noon on Wednesday. My plan is to be at one or both, because, you know, you need all that good local produce for your Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dinner, and breakfast and lunch. So don't forget about your farmers markets just because you're busy. And also, if you have last-minute presents that you need to give, I always think that shopping at your farmers markets is a great option. Things that are local, things that are produced by community members. You know, it's a nice way to go, and it's a nice way to keep money that you spend in your community. The more you get, the more money that we spend at local companies and local individuals, the more money that circulates in Sonoma County, and we like that. Tonight is the last show of 2015. Next Sunday, as we always do, we will be broadcasting some sort of holiday special, and then the following Sunday, we will be doing something similar. So tonight is the last show of 2015. We will be back. Let's see. I think it's the 3rd is the Sunday, so we'll be back on January 10th. And on that note, I'm going to introduce our guests. Last week, we had Mary Risley of Tante Marie's Cooking School, but also the founder of Food Runners, a great organization, about 20 years ago, I believe. And there have been a couple attempts to do something similar here in Sonoma County. And, you know, it's worked for a while and then not worked. But as Mary told us last Sunday, we now have Sonoma Food Runners with June Michaels. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
And so it was like 2 years ago that you started Food Runners, right? About 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago, I started researching. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see who was doing what, connect with the city, you know, Health and Human Services, the food bank, different nonprofits, the volunteer center. Mm-hmm. Started doing research while I was working on other projects. Really started donating the most probably last year, mm-hmm. and then this year.
Mm-hmm. And what was it? What was the original stimulus to do this?
Let me backtrack a little bit. When I was in San Francisco, when I came across Food Runners, I was working for the Marriott on 4th Street, mm-hmm. a large one, and we were donating different things, and I heard about Food Runners and established a relationship there, mm-hmm. which was very successful for the hotel and everybody. And then later on, when I moved up here, they started calling me when there was food donations that they found out up here. So I just did it sporadically.
Mm-hmm. Now, who started calling you?
San Francisco.
Oh, the Marriott did. Okay.
No, San Francisco Food Runners.
Oh, Food Runners. Okay.
Yeah. Nancy, who works for Mary, uh-huh. would call me, and I would do things sporadically. And then I served on AB 939, the local task force to reduce waste for the county. And I realized with the waste characterization we had done recently in 2014, that about 30% of the waste that goes in the landfill is organics. And almost 18% of that is food. That's huge.
That's enormous.
So that just pushed me.
And it goes into, people are putting it into their regular trash, not composting.
People, businesses, everybody is doing that. So that's when I started researching, mm-hmm. and then that was the final push mm-hmm. to do something.
And where are you located? Where are you based?
Santa Rosa. But I serve all of Sonoma County.
Okay. And how is it, what's your structure?
Structure?
I mean, is it like a phone tree? You know, how does it function?
People usually call or email me when mm-hmm. they have food, and we go from there.
And it's just
it
you? People
most,
call you?
Most of the time, yeah, they call the number on the website, business card, SonomaFoodRunners.org. Mm-hmm. We're also on Facebook, by the way. And then we just go from there and pick it up. We usually can do it within a couple hours. Most of the time, it's done in arranged in advance, but we can mm-hmm. do it short notice as well.
Mm-hmm. You can do. Okay. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you don't know you're going to have leftover food, and then you do.
That's true. That's the event.
Yeah. And then who is it that's calling? Is it established, like hotels and those sorts of things? Is it a huge mix of things?
In the city, that would be there, mm-hmm. one of the large ones there, because the hotels in San Francisco are much bigger than here.
Sure.
So they don't have the waste. And as you know, with restaurants, there is really no waste.
Not really.
Really
if they're running it like it should be,
yes,
there's
exactly.
not a lot of waste.
What I have done, one of my biggest clients is Sonoma Raceway with Levy Restaurants.
Oh, right, yes.
And because they have these huge, wonderful hospitality suites,
yes.
and they serve the food, and the food that they don't get to serve, they put in a refrigerated truck. And that goes on for a couple days, and mm-hmm. then I go down on the third day, and we pick it up.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so, they do so much cooking and so much serving
yes.
there.
Yes.
That is great.
Yes. The first time we went down, we took a refrigerator truck with Redwood Gospel Mission, and mm-hmm. we did about 2,000 pounds. So
you have formed alliances with people with refrigerated trucks? Is that how it works?
Well, if it's that large, mm-hmm. they're the only one we use the refrigerator truck.
Oh, Redwood Gospel?
Uh-huh. No, with the raceway.
Oh, okay.
What I've done also is got other nonprofits to come down, like the Haven over in Sonoma came over and they took some food from the raceway. There was one that was the, I'm just going to say something with elders in Marin. It'll come to me. Sorry. And so there was, we shared some, and then I had some other people with me as well, and we just shared the food, so it was spread around. And then we were, also had the gospel mission there. So, so it was sharing, getting more nonprofits involved in it, taking what they want, because you don't know what it's going to be.
Sure.
It's always like, okay, prepared, unprepared, you know, what the food is. So we split
100 raw chicken breasts or, you know, bread and sausage salad for 30.
Yeah. No, it's so usually it's cooked food.
Usually cooked food.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Cooked food. None of raw meats or anything.
No raw. Okay. So it's all just stuff that
prepared.
Is. Okay. After it's been served and then not eaten.
It hasn't been served.
Okay.
They never got the chance to serve it.
Okay. So it's just, you know, excess.
Excess. Excess. Exactly.
And then once you get it, where does it go?
Variety. When I first started the business, I wanted to get as close as I could to the donor. It would be like sharing food with your neighbor. Not always possible because they don't always want it. But I've given food, I have a variety of type of donors. And everything from food producers, like, did you know we have a biscotti producer in Petaluma, Biscotti Bari? And there's also a couple ice cream you're probably aware
of. Yeah, absolutely.
Three Twins in Mariposa. And they're bread makers. And we also got food from a production company, Productionville SF, when they had a photo shoot that had lots of food. I love that. Vegetables, 400 pounds of fruits and vegetables. County Line Harvest, they have a farm.
Oh, they're great. Great little farm.
Oh, like wonderful people. Amy's Kitchen, as you're well aware of. There is also local sourdough, Petaluma Coffee and Tea, Sonoma. I can't read my writing. there's just a variety of different people. Anybody who's got excess food that has not been served will come pick it up.
That's great. And Jameson, I want to bring you in. How have you been involved?
So I work at the Santa Rosa Community Market and in the produce department. And more often than we'd like, you know, there's excess produce that's good for eating, good for cooking, but not sellable. Usually there's not too much quantity. But what we normally do is when we have scraps of, you know, like trimmings and whatnot and stuff that just can't be sold, we'll give it to people. They'll come by and grab it for their goats, their rabbits, their chickens, things like that. And otherwise, we have to compost it, and because we're a certified green business in Sonoma County, and so obviously that's a shame to watch good food that can be eaten or done something with go to waste, and so that had been a concern of mine, and a friend of mine, coworker, gave me June's information, thinking that maybe that would be something I'd be interested in looking into. And sure enough, it was. I gave June a call, and she was really friendly. She told me all about Sonoma Food Runners, and I told her that because I anticipated not having too much produce accumulated, and that I'd just drop it off if it was near, right? And so she just asked me what my route was, what my commute, my route to work was, and seemingly in her head, she just had this massive repertoire of different places you could take this stuff to, and so just gave me an address right on my way home from work, St. Vincent de Paul's in Railroad Square in Santa Rosa.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I accumulated some stuff a few days later, a few boxes worth of stuff, and I brought it to them. They were really friendly, and they just came out and greeted me with just open arms, took everything, very enthusiastic and appreciative, and that was it. No small talk. I left, went home, and I just had a great experience with it, you know.
That's great. Now, is one of the things that you do, because you're in a market, what about all the things that have their sell-by date? Is that some of the stuff, if it's past the sell-by date, does that also go into Food Runners?
It hasn't so far. No, one place we have donated is to Fish, which is also June recommended to me. And recently we had our case, one of our cases went out, and we caught it immediately. But unfortunately, we can't sell that stuff at that point. Right. And so we had a whole lot of stuff that another coworker of mine when delivered to fish. And that was awesome. They took everything again, and they were really nice people. I wasn't there with him, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. We're going to take a little musical break here on Methyl. We'll be right back.
It's the same kind of story that seems to come down from long ago. Two friends having coffee together when something flies by their window. It might be out on that lawn, which is wide, at least half of the playing field. Because there's no explaining.
It's Mouthful here on KRCB. One other thing I wanted to tell you. Christmas is on a Friday. The Saturday farmers markets will still be happening. So they're all worried. Is anyone going to come the day after Christmas? So don't forget your farmers markets. You still need really good lettuce. You still need your eggs. And, you know, this is the downtime, the slow time for chickens. But there are still eggs at farmers markets. If you want them, you just need to get there a little earlier rather than a little later. And if you're like me, I can't eat commercial eggs anymore. Have to get them from a great source. If I can't get them from the farmer's market, then I just have to drive the back roads and find a farm stand with happy chickens. You're all nodding and smiling. Where were we? You had just said something to me. You were talking about a movie.
But I just mentioned to you that there's a great movie about food waste called foodwastemovie.com. Also, John Oliver did a great take
John Oliver,
on
he's
food
really
waste.
Hilarious.
He a lot of great points about food waste and done in a humorous way, very mm-hmm. lightweight. So it's not all just stats, greenhouse gases,
right.
numbers. Uh-huh. He does it a great way.
It seems like food waste is one of the topics, one of the issues that is suddenly it has legs. It has legs on a national and probably an international level. Are you finding that as well?
I'm surprised that how strongly it is internationally. Mm-hmm. I think Mary mentioned it before as well in Europe. Tristan Stewart was one of the gentlemen behind the food waste movie. Mm-hmm. And also 2014, we had a zero food waste conference and Feeding 5,000 over in Oakland. Mm-hmm. Back there. And that's where I met Tristan mm-hmm. from there. And also the ugly fruit, ugly vegetable is really taking
right.
off tremendously. Jordan is heading that up and he's getting a lot of great.
Jordan.
Jordan is over in East Bay. Mm-hmm. Jordan, I don't even want to try to, I'll slaughter his name.
Okay.
But he does the ugly fruit, ugly vegetable. He's mm-hmm. really promoting that strongly.
Mm-hmm. And we have now in France has made it illegal for markets. And that's a great thing. And my understanding is the guy, and I don't know his name right now, who put that through in France wants to take it globally so that markets, supermarkets, grocery stores are not allowed to throw away edible food. Is my reading on that correct?
That's true. And if you go to the foodwastemovie.com, you will see bins of edible food that they're thrown out because it was that date.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand the grocery store dates.
Right. I was just talking to somebody about that. It doesn't mean you have to throw it out on that date. It means you have to sell it by that date, right?
Let's let Jameson
okay. Jameson,
the authoritative.
Let's talk about that.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Actually, interestingly, I don't know if you guys have heard of a. It's called Mycopia or gourmet mushrooms.
Mycopia, absolutely.
Yeah. And they recently changed their dating system from being a sell by date, which was or a best by date or sell by date, one or the other, to a packed on date. To kind of address that issue, because a lot of times their food is being thrown out. I was bringing it home and eating it. Often I really got to experiment with their mushrooms. But now it leaves it up to the produce department's discretion or the customer's discretion.
Yeah, because I've always thought that date had to do, sell it by this. And I know somebody gave my daughter a case of dairy, you know, a milk crate full of... organic cream, organic half and half, and organic 2% milk. Now, the 2% milk, not sure what to do with it, but the cream, it was like 6 or 7 days post-date, but that doesn't mean it's gone bad. That just means that it's sell-by. So I actually took all the cream and made butter. And it's really good butter. But yeah, you don't throw it out by that date. You just want to sell it by that date. And people just don't understand. So part of what we need, as always, is some education. Really need some education.
I agree. And I also heard that they, when it started putting stamps on the food, that was for the people doing the stocking so they could keep the
and keep
older.
It, keep the older
front.
Forward, the others
in
back, yes.
That's how it originally started.
Right.
It wasn't going to like explode on that date or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes.
How did you end up here? What in your life? What have you done in your life? What is it that has brought you to this time when you are working to reduce food waste?
Oh, goodness. I think as a child that I was probably like many, I wasn't allowed to leave the table till I cleaned my plate.
Yeah.
And
did you have a dog?
It didn't like the food. And my mother wouldn't let me feed it. But I couldn't do that. And then when she made extra, she would share it with the neighbor. But if there was just like a spoonful or two, she'd go, "Oh, I hate to throw it away. Just can't you eat this?" And so, good thing I was athletic. I would have been huge. But it's just the whole idea. I think I was brought up with not wasting food and sharing. Mm-hmm. And working in the hotel business, when we started working with giving food away, it just grew.
It just grew. What did you do when you were working in the hotel industry?
I was hired to be a concierge, which I did for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
I was a member of the Northern California Concierge Association.
Oh, I bet you have some good stories.
And Le Clay d'Or.
Hmm?
And Le Clay d'Or. Le Clay d'Or is the International Concierge Association.
Oh.
So go to conferences, national and international.
Uh-huh.
All about food and fun things to do wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Rough job. Telling people where to go, where to have wine, where to eat,
right?
Where to shop.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
How much time does this take up in your life now?
I try not to keep track of it. I kind of do for possibility of grants, but easily over 40 hours a week.
Oh, really? Okay. And you look for grants and that sort of thing?
I did my first attempt. I bred for the Journey. Yay!
Oh, bred for the Journey. They're wonderful.
They gave us our first grant, which paid for insurance and some bills, which was fantastic, paid them off. Tried some others, tried collaborating with Gleaners. I'm a big collaborator. Mm-hmm. And we collaborate with all the other food rescues in the Bay Area, too, by the way. And
can you name some of those?
Oh, I'd love to. Extrafood.org is in Marin. Food Shift is in East Bay. Peninsula Food Runners is in the Peninsula. And my fave, San Francisco's Food Runners.
Food Runners, yes.
Yes.
Wonderful.
So I'm there. And Respecting Your Elders, that's the other one in Marin.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a small one. A man and woman run it. I think they're husband and wife. And very low key.
Mm-hmm.
Down there. Wonderful, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody in doing this is helping people get fed. I think it just makes me so angry knowing that there's hungry people when people are throwing away food.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense. at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here, I got this extra food. Oh, there's someone hungry. Oop, trash. You know, it's almost
right.
Like it is a sin to do that in some ways.
Now, what about, what are the harder to reach places? I mean, I'm thinking about, say, what if you have a dinner party and you've got a lot of food left over? I mean, is that something that can go to that personal location? I mean, from an individual having things?
People could do that, yes.
They could, okay.
One of the things I've been wanting to do, and I have a volunteer who's helping me create a map where I'm going to have it on the website, and hopefully we can make it into an app later, is to do like a Google map. Say your dinner party is over at a friend's house. They live out in West County or they live in Sonoma, wherever. And you have like all this extra food. You can feed mm-hmm. at least 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to deliver it yourself. So you pull up the app. You find out which nonprofit is close to you, who the contact is, what mm-hmm. their hours are, what type of food they take. And you can just, you know, push the button to call them and say, hey, can I come over with such and such food?
What a great idea.
Yeah, I tried to get a grant for it, but wasn't successful, but we're trying to do it.
Successful yet.
Yet. Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, thank you.
And especially to have somebody develop an app like that. There's got to be people around who would be interested in doing that.
My volunteer and I, we're kind of like working our way through it, mm-hmm. struggling. So if there's anyone out there that really is great at this, and I'd love to put their name on the website everywhere.
Great.
Wants to help out, do that.
And we'll give all the contact information towards the end of the hour.
That would be wonderful. Because everybody, the nonprofits want it, the businesses mm-hmm. want it, the county wants it, everybody mm-hmm. wants a copy of it.
Mm-hmm. That's really great.
So it'd be open sourced.
Uh-huh. So I want to bring you back in, Jameson. You're still involved, right? It was mm-hmm. so. Tell me some of the stuff that you're doing now, especially around this time of year. Mm-hmm. Is there increased quantity that needs to go places? Is there increase? Are you seeing increased demand? What are you seeing happening?
I mean, yeah. There's definitely more. The more produce. That's being sold, the more is being lost usually. Like for one thing, we're all community markets, produce department. We're always trying to get to buy it to source local as much as absolutely
sure.
possible. And,
sure.
and we deal personally with a lot of really cool local farms, one being a local farm. And we got a bin of squash and there were some bad ones. And of course that happens, you know, and it's nature, you know, it's
sure,
hard
it happens.
We're always very communicative with them, giving them feedback, and a lot of stuff was just not really the right color and things that are kind of ridiculous, things for a produce that unfortunately, if you have a big squash set, you need to have a color variation and all mm-hmm. these sort of things that even though we try to avoid that kind of stuff in our department, we want to carry the ugly stuff and whatnot. Sometimes there's a limit to that, you know, mm-hmm. from a retailing perspective. And so we had to throw out a whole bunch of cases worth of hard squash. And that actually, right now I've got a couple sitting in our walk-in right now. I'm going to take them back to probably St. Vincent de Paul's or somewhere else. And so that's something.
Yeah, because I mean, once you have ugly squash, you can make some really good squash puree,
totally
squash soup. There's so many things that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So this is an ongoing thing for you.
Yeah. I just started, like, as in within the last couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
June. Yeah.
And what was it that you started? What was it? What was the mm-hmm. signal moment?
Oh, it was just that I'd been worried about it. You know,
okay.
it had just been bothering me. You know, just uh-huh. seeing things go to waste, I'm on the what we call the green team at Community Market, which mm-hmm. is just kind of concerned with environmental issues mm-hmm. and raising awareness and proactiveness towards that in the community and in our store. And so one of my cohorts told me about June and gave
okay.
me contact.
That's how it's
done.
This may be a little bit off topic, and that's okay. You can say I have no idea, and we'll go somewhere else. You guys have that pizza oven
mm-hmm.
outside. Does that get used very often?
Not enough.
I saw it, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is such a great idea!" And it reminded me of, I mean, gosh, the south of France, Egypt, all kinds mm-hmm. of places where not everybody had an oven. And people would bring, especially like sometimes on holidays, whatever, people would bring their foods to be cooked in the community oven.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think. And I found the guy who built it, I think. He wasn't interested in talking about it.
Yeah, his name's like Miguel, I think.
So, he just, I think maybe he's just interested in building, not post-building. I was thinking, this is a great thing and more people need to know about it. And now I think have you put in something similar in Sebastopol?
We do have a fireplace.
Oh, okay, it's a fireplace, not a pizza oven.
Yeah, it's not a pizza oven. Okay. I might be functional as well. I don't know. But we actually have used that for events like video screenings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Green Team, we're planning on, we don't have a set day, but sometime within the next few months anyway, we're going to be having screenings of environmental related films and
this
using
one,
the pizza oven.
The food waste film.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good one. Actually, I'll bring that to the next meeting. And
you should show, do you know The Gleaners and I?
No.
Oh, do you know that one?
It's a movie?
The movie?
No, I don't know
Agnès Varda. She's part of the French New Wave. And
what was the name?
In English, it's The Gleaners and I, which... Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. We've showed it for a long time on Mouthful. Mouthful is now in its 21st year. And for a number of years, we did film nights for our anniversary. And I'm hoping to do that again sometime. I'm not going to try to do it in French because I'll get it wrong. But I think it's The Gleaned and The Gleaner. The Gleaners and The Gleaned or something in French. But it talks about the history of gleaning. And how the French government ruled it the right of the French people to go into the corporate farms after they've been harvested and get what is left. The French government ruled that was the right of the French people. And there's a lot of, you go back into 15th, 16th, 17th century art, and there's a lot of paintings about gleaning, and they're beautiful, and they really tell a very poignant story. But then Varda takes it a step further. Well, she takes it several steps further, and she uses it partly as an allegory about aging and herself aging and the earth aging. But then also, and we see this in America now, we're seeing it more. It's more common in the South, but we're starting to see it here. People who don't want something, you redecorate your bathroom and you don't need your medicine cabinet anymore. You put it out on the street for someone to take. Mm-hmm. You don't want your couch. You put it out on the street. That's very, very common in France. And it's getting much more common here. And it's really common in the South. The American South. So this movie is sort of, a collage of all of those kinds of things. And it shows people gleaning in the fields and the potatoes and that sort of thing. But then it goes off into the other areas as well. That would be a great movie to see there by your pizza, by that wonderful outdoor oven, which I just love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and June, you wrote that down, right? I'm going to take a look after. And I don't have a pen, actually.
I did. Oh.
Yeah, right, and it's on, I'm pretty sure it's on Facebook, and that's Agnès Varda, A-G-N-E-S, and then V-A-R-D-A, part of the, I think she's in her 70s, maybe her 80s now, but part of the 1950s New Wave cinema in France. So it's really, it's a film I could watch over and over again. It's really magnificent. And on that note, we're going to take one more musical break here on Mouthful. Okay.
Getting deeper all the time, and the faces that I see don't seem to shine. That's right. Now there's too much Warhol hanging off the wall, and the mystery
that they used to be is gone. Up in a cloud of smoke, and all those Hare Krishnas turned out to be a joke. It's restless, restless, restless all the time, sliding up and down the surface of his life. I know I can't say what's black and white, but if I could fly, I think I'd try tonight. You know why? 'Cause I'm
you're listening to Mouthful here on KRCB. Support for Mouthful on KRCB-FM comes from our members and from Rocky the Free Range Chicken and Rosie the Original Organic Chicken. Air chilled, non-GMO, totally raised in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information and a listing of upcoming events is available at rockyandrosie.com.
Thanks so much, Mary. Speaking of Rocky and Rosie chickens, I heard something so disturbing yesterday. I was speaking with one of the guys working the butcher counter at Pacific Market. And if you haven't been in Pacific Market in Sebastopol for a while, they have undergone a major facelift. Anyway, I went, and part of what I was doing was getting, you know, 2 or 3 pounds of chicken feet, because I currently have 4 dachshunds at my house. And a chicken foot is a really, that's like a 10 to 15 minute distraction. Anyway, they don't have any chicken feet, and they can't get any chicken feet. And the reason is, according to this guy, that both Petaluma Poultry and Mary's, which is... Mary's is doing the air-dried chicken, and they're down, I think, in Fresno or the Fresno area. They say that they don't have enough employees to pack up the chicken feet. So the chicken feet are getting tossed out with everything else, even though, first of all, really good nutrition. Chicken feet make fabulous stock. You get really good structure in the stock. But what they're telling their customers, apparently, is that they don't have enough staff to pack up the chicken feet. And that just seems crazy to me. That just seems that they're, oh, well, they're packing up the breast, the boneless, skinless breast, which I don't know why anyone ever buys those things, but no chicken feet. So, poor puppies. You can get them at the farmer's market, and you could probably get them if you were, if you called Golden Gate Meats. But I thought that was so strange, and I'm going to call both Mary's and Petaluma Poultry to find out if that's really the case or if this guy got it wrong. But I did think that was really interesting.
It's just not worth it to them, right?
Right. They're not selling them for enough, though you can. I mean, you're not giving them away. But yeah, it's not worth it. They can't make enough money to pay their employees. And that just seems so wrong to me. So now we need food runners to go and get all the chicken feet at Petaluma Poultry. Oh, no. But they actually do, for anyone who's making big pots of stock, for anyone who's feeding lots of people, you get yourself 100, 200 chicken feet, and you're getting some really rich, flavorful, nutritious stock.
It's really one of the basics in Chinese cooking.
Yes, absolutely.
I know when I worked at the hotels, the concierge, sometimes people say, oh, I want a really authentic Chinese restaurant. I go, oh, you want chicken feet? They go, no.
Yeah. So, I know in Malaysia, when I was in Malaysia, you would get chicken feet, like almost in a bag, like you would get popcorn. And you just eat chicken feet like a snack. Mm-hmm. I think I probably totally offended them because they were all, it was a hawker center. So there's all, you're eating outside and there's maybe 20 vendors and there's tables and, you're in the tropics. That's very interesting. And there are all these skinny cats. And so I'm eating my chicken feet, but I keep calling the cats over and giving them pieces of the chicken feet. And it's like, oh, it's probably really insulting the culture. I hope not. But anyway, chicken feet, that just seems,
there's
just
a
seems
lot
wrong.
Of, I saw in, I think it was the Food Waste movie, where a lot of the packaged vegetables in the farms where they do mass production, mm-hmm. because it has to fit in a certain size bag.
Oh, absolutely.
They cut and they leave half of it in the field.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
It's good food. It just doesn't fit the package.
Well, it's like lemons. A friend who used to be on another radio station, The Crush, she and I used to talk about the lemon cartel a lot because, it's like, 79 cents for a lemon, 99 cents for a lemon. What is going on? And we were like, what is the story with lemons? And it's all controlled by Sunkist. It's all controlled by Sunkist. Really? And you see how Sunkist is stamped on the lemon? Well, it all has to do with appearance.
Back to that again.
Yeah. Not just being blemish free, but also being approximately the same size as all of the other lemons. So in packing and stuff, it's going to be uniform. It was Joe Mwali of Mwali Gardens that talked to me a lot about this. They always have lemons for a dollar.
Yay.
And they don't get sun-kissed. You can get lemons that are not sun-kissed, that are not necessarily uniform, and that are very likely much juicier. By looking for the ones that are not Sunkist, but Sunkist controls lemons, and it's all about appearance. It's not about all of that delicious juice inside, and that's true with so many things.
Lemons are a product amongst a lot of them that we can order as choice or number two. There are terms in the produce world, and so we can get a much better price. And for something like a lemon, if it has some scarring or the sizing is a little bit uneven, it's not a big deal. It's not a deal. It's nothing.
Yeah,
so then we can give people better prices
for
organic. Yeah,
and do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, whenever we can.
I have to start looking at community market because lemons are something I can't live without.
Yep.
And even though this is their season, it can be really hard right now to find decent lemons.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a gleaner.
Oh, and Absolutely. I will. Anyone tells me, you tell me to come to your house and pick lemons, I will come to your house and pick lemons. I did that several times this year, and I will do it any time whatsoever. So, what do you see happening in this next year? Where do you see things going with Sonoma Food Runners?
Well, one of the things we're doing is we're collaborating, and I think that's probably a throwback to my concierge days, but we're collaborating with all the gleaners in Sonoma County, Petaluma Bounty, Farm the Pantry, there was Sonoma, and there we're also collaborating with all the food rescues in the Bay Area, you know, extrafood.org, San Francisco's Food Runners, Peninsula Food Runners, foodshift.net, and we're even extending our collaboration to go down to all the food rescues all the way to L.A.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Yeah, sharing best practices, and perhaps we can get a large grant. But we're also probably looking at this coming year in 2016 doing an event up here in Sonoma County about what's available here and food waste and how not to waste your food and ways to feed the people. It's ridiculous. One in six people, they say, is going to bed without missing a meal. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have an abundant area of food. And
so much gets thrown away. People, what do you think are the main reasons that food is wasted? Have you, in doing this, can you see patterns of what causes this? Is it random?
I do know with one food donor, when I first started working with them, I used to itemize what they were giving us, like how many, whether it was green beans or lemons or whatever it was, and I itemized it. So the next time I went to pick up a donation, they realized where they were over-purchasing it, and it was a much smaller donation, but it was still very quiet. But it's a lot of people, they don't want to run out of food. So they buy that extra.
They overpurchase.
They overpurchase. But that's okay. We're here.
Sure. Absolutely.
We'll pick it up.
And what do you find in the market? What do you find, or why do you end up with leftovers? Is it?
It's things like eggplants and artichokes.
Artichokes?
Yeah, interestingly enough, once an artichoke gets slightly brown, people just quit buying them. I don't know. I don't know how other produce departments deal with that.
And that's funny because
they're organic too. And I think that some people opt for conventional products, produce items, because they're more expensive when they're organic.
Well, there's also been a problem with organic artichokes. I'm a major fan of artichokes. I adore artichokes. And my sense is it's had to do with variety.
Interesting.
And Green Globe is one of the best. Green Globe is the one that's usually a little bit brighter green, but it will often have the brown on the outside, which comes from freezing.
Yeah.
And that's what you want because it tastes really good.
A lot of people don't know that.
I know. Most people.
They call it frost-kissed.
Exactly, frost-kissed. You want frost-kissed for the best-tasting artichokes. But what I have found, because I do, I try to buy organic, but in all honesty, if something tastes better, conventional, and I really want it, I'm probably going to buy the conventional. For example, it's taking a while for organics to figure out how to grow good celery. Organic celery has had a problem with being rather bitter. And my guess is that it hasn't been given enough water. But
I haven't noticed that. I'll try to notice that.
It was about 7 years ago I started noticing organic artichokes. But they were of a different variety that was, once you got inside, there was a lot of root. They were, if you squeezed it, you could squeeze it. It wasn't firm, and if you picked it up in your hand, it was light for its size. And from what I've been able to tell, that had to do with variety, and it seemed to have some connection with thornless, because all of a sudden, just like seedless watermelon and thornless artichokes, but seedless watermelons are grown to be seedless. They're not grown for how they taste, and thornless artichokes are grown for not having thorns. Not how they taste. And I tried, and they weren't meaty. There wasn't a lot of actual meat, and they were just not good. And it's getting harder and harder to find the true Green Globe artichokes that are not grown to be thornless. So that's been what I've seen.
I'll tell you this. If you start putting a bin there saying, you know, kissed artichoke, kissed.
Mm-hmm. Frost-kissed.
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 On there, or ugly vegetables or fruit, put it as cheaper.
We actually do that.
They're going to sell.
You do it.
Yeah, with fruit. With vegetables, we don't have a section or a refrigerator to do that. And we need all that space for, you know, selling good, you know, beautiful produce. And but we do sell a lot of sad produce, we call it
sad
our
looking.
It's our sad fruit, sad fruit bin. Yeah, no.
It's
wonderful.
This is our wallflower.
Give
them a chance. Our wallflowers, they taste just as good. It just takes a little longer to get to know them. And I can't believe it. We're almost out of time. So if people want more information, and I'm going to assume there's opportunities to be a volunteer driver.
There is. And actually, can I put a request out to
the
general?
Sure, you bet.
Some of our donations are getting bigger, and I have been borrowing vans and renting them in SUVs, mm-hmm. and some of the vans have gone kaput. Mm-hmm. We would love a van.
Okay, you are looking for a van.
I have 4 large coolers. And so a van would be a great holiday gift. Mm-hmm. And you can put your name all over it. I don't care.
There you go.
And advertising.
How do people get a hold of you?
They can look up SonomaFoodRunners.org. Check us out on Facebook. We're also there.
So it's SonomaFoodRunners@sonic.net if you want to get in touch with June Michaels via email, or just SonomaFoodRunners.org, and quickly a phone number, 596-8711. That's 596-8711 if you want to volunteer, if you want to make a donation, if you just want more information.
And if you have food to donate.
If you have food to donate, absolutely. Carl, what if you have a need for food?
You have a need? Let me know that too.
Okay, that's great. And Jameson, mm-hmm. when do we find you at Community Market?
I'm there Sunday through Thursday until 1:00 p.m.
Okay. So mm-hmm. great. Thank you so much for taking time in. You know, this is a hard time of the year for many, many people. It's wet. It's dark. And by the way, tomorrow is the winter solstice. Today, I think it's the shortest day, or tomorrow, the shortest day of the year. I find it a really beautiful time of year to just be quiet and pay attention to what you think our ancestors might have been feeling as the days are getting shorter and shorter, and suddenly that stops and they start to get a little longer. You know, we're going to start feeling very soon, within a week or two, we're going to start feeling the approach of spring, even though it's still a long way off. So, June Michaels, Jameson... Les?
Norris.
Norris, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time on a rainy Sunday before Christmas. And thanks very much to you for tuning in. Mouthful will be taking the next 2 Sundays off, as we always do at this time of year. There will be holiday specials. And I'll be back, I think it's January 10th. Have a great holiday. Have a great New Year. See you soon.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms, selling out